Welcome
guys to another episode of In the Thick, an anthropological podcast with your host Brianna
and Kayla.
And today we have a very special topic.
We do. Today we're going to be exploring technology and visual anthropology and VR, virtual reality. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I do virtual reality, visual anthropology, technology sort of things. So like these two people that we're bringing on our show today are very good friends of mine.
Yeah, and they also are very experienced in this realm. So it'll be awesome. But I think, you know, before we even can introduce our guests or really dive deep in topic, I think it's important to like talk about technology and virtual reality, especially if some people have never experienced it before. How would you explain VR?
Well, VR is exactly what it says. It's virtual reality. And pretty much here and with anthropology, we are big on immersing people into worlds that they have no idea of.
And so, usually through the medium of there's a special actual headset that you put on and you experience this reality, essentially, however it's created. Usually 360, you can turn around, look up, look down, and see all around you. It's pretty cool. I, though, have not always had the best experience with VR. I myself get motion sick, but I will say that's not a reason to stay away from it, because I know a lot of people that will be their first excuse to not put on the headset. Not all films make you, you know, sick, but it is a different perspective that you're looking at. And I know the first time that I ever did it, I got scared out of my mind because I did a horror little snippet in the VR and it was terrifying because it felt so real. But I think that's the most important part, is it's immersive and you're meant to experience fully what you're seeing. What was your first experience with VR?
Well, my first experience, actually, I got to be smack dab in the middle of a Haitian voodoo ritual, which I thought was amazing because I am very interested in voodoo in the first place. And it just was like, I got to see the country, I got to see the altars, I got to see them get dressed, I got to see the... Because to me, their ritual was kind of like a performance in a way. So I got to see the performance. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I am standing dead smack in the middle of a ritual right now. Yeah. And this is amazing. And I have to create one. And so I created my first virtual reality film, which was called The Experience, which was pretty much a immersion of a person being on psychedelic mushrooms, which was my first, and Dr. Wilson let me do it and it was dope. And yeah, so I'm sorry, I'm super giddy. I love VR. There's a lot of virtual reality programs where you just like get in, start spinning, going all over the place, but it's really about like how the cinematographer, the person, the creator of the film made it so that if they jump from like standing still to moving, then that's what causes the dizziness and all of that. So I'm just saying, you guys can choose a more chill virtual reality experience.
Right. And sometimes, yeah, they are produced in 3D. Not always, but sometimes they can be.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's usefulness, I think, in virtual reality, especially, you know, what they're doing now with historical preservation of old sites. Like now, you know, we don't have to have hundreds of people traipsing through these historical landmarks and these sites. Now we can just take 360 photos of them and people can enjoy them from their own homes, even without devastating the site and polluting the site. They're able to experience these places, these wonderful places, through VR. And I think that really has a lot of usefulness now, especially in the field of anthropology and archaeology even.
There's a lot of people out here that don't get the pleasure to go to these different countries, these different sites. Film does a great job at showing you places that you are new places, but virtual reality does a whole different thing. It actually makes you feel like almost the water splashing against
right.
your face.
It's definitely a feeling, I think, more so with VR.
Yeah. Our two guests have had a lot of experience producing visual content, especially virtual reality. they have just recently done a virtual reality film about the Native American burial ground that we have here on campus called Pavunga. And I know one of the guests has made at least 3 to 4 virtual reality films already. And so we like hope that you guys find this episode totally interesting, because technology and anthropology is something that you wouldn't think will go hand in hand, but it does. It
definitely does. So, without further ado, we have the department chair of anthropology, Dr. Scott Wilson, and also graduate student Catherine Scully.
Yes.
And if you guys are interested in any of the things they're talking about, I believe there are some links, YouTube links, that we can put on the page if you want to see.
Right.
For some, not all.
Yes. If you would go onto our website, www.inthethickofanthro.com, you can go to my or our page where you can read about us. And I have a website up there where you can go and look at some of the virtual reality content that I produced.
Yeah.
And then we will also put some virtual reality content that the artists or the creators that we have on today's show produced as well.
Right. But again, these experiences are definitely meant to be seen through a headset, but you can see some of them through just a standard YouTube video. So.
Right. Right. I suggest everybody go get a headset.
I do too.
It's not that much. If you can afford a PlayStation, you can afford a headset. But yeah. So yeah, without further ado, we have Dr. Wilson.
Hi, I'm Scott Wilson.
Hey. He is the chair of the Cal State Long Beach Anthropology Department. And then we have Catherine Scully.
You can call me Kat.
She is a graduate student here at Cal State Long Beach and also a very wonderful, amazing virtual reality filmmaker and world builder.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So today, guys, on this episode, we're going to talk about technology and anthropology. Specifically, filmmaking, virtual reality, any new things that's coming up in anthropology to push the discipline a little further than it already is.
So, yeah, technology and anthropology have always gone hand in hand. I think a lot of the stuff that we're doing with VR right now just parallels other moments in the history of anthropology. So once film came about, people thought about we need to record and preserve people's lives. Then it started, once the technology progressed in the mid 20th century, then it became, oh, we can record behavior in context. And this VR moment is, you know, allowing us to tell different kinds of stories. And so we can go even more immersive. So it's really not anything that's radically new, but there is like a fundamental change about the kinds of stories we can tell. And, you know, we don't really even know, there are no rules yet, right? So we're still trying to figure out what we can do with the technology, but it's a fun moment.
I think what we're really talking about is visual anthropology and using new technology and techniques to really tell the ethnographic story. And so for those of us who are listening who haven't heard of visual anthropology before, it's really about moving beyond traditional written ethnography and incorporating visual data, including photographs, videos, art. And like Dr. Wilson was saying, this has been used for decades, over a century probably. Oftentimes this visual information is used as a supplement for the text, but visual anthropology can be the ethnography itself. And that's where you get things like ethnographic film, which we all love.
Right.
I mean, in some ways, the old cliche is true, right? A picture is worth 1,000 words, right? So when you take moving images, you know, those thousands of words get multiplied by 30 frames per second, right? So, so you've basically got 30,000 words per second that can be, you know, in those visual recording media can add so much more than written text can. In one way, you know, it gives you context and settings that you can't, you know, even the best writers can't really fully describe. And on the other hand, it's more accessible, right? You know, we anthropologists, you know, especially the way anthropologists write, our texts are not that accessible to mainstream audiences. And so when people in the community, we go out and do ethnographies and people in the community, they don't have really the access to the text. You need training, you need education in anthropology, you need very disciplinary specific vocabularies that you need to understand to know what the hell we're talking about even. And so with visual anthropology, you can help communities. The text is accessible to the people in the community. You can have events around it. One of my favorite things about visual anthropology is that it breaks down this boundary between the anthropologist and the people we study, right? That our text shouldn't be cut off from things that they can access, right? Because I just think otherwise you're just taking things from people and talking about them, right? And so we as a discipline have worked so hard to get away from that, and yet we still do it in the way that we publish. Right? The way that we publish still replicates this colonial mindset of, I'm going to go into these places and learn about them and learn the ways of your people, right? You know, and then we take this stuff, we can go back and we present it at conferences. We publish it. We publish these things in peer-reviewed journals, and who reads this stuff except for a handful of anthropologists? So, I could go on about that. That's going to kind of, I'll get off my sandbox now, but I really do think visual... You know, and VR is just the latest format for that. So it's, it's doing a lot of the same things that film used to do, but just in a new way.
So it really goes back to the question of who was it made for? Who was this ethnography made for? And a lot of the written ethnographies are made for anthropologists. At least that's all who's reading them, because of the jargon. Like you said, it takes training and education to even understand what the point is. Visual media can be shared and understood more easily. It's more interesting. It doesn't require training to interpret. And new media techniques like virtual reality, augmented reality, interactive film, and multi-sensory installations offer even more alternative modes of ethnography. They're immersive. They open up the possibilities for multiple and diverse interpretations, and provide the possibility for people to interact, for the audience to interact with the media and the data and the ethnography itself, as well as with the ethnographer and with the artists involved. It's a collaboratory effort. And I think that's a really important part of visual anthropology, specifically new media, is the collaboration that it takes to create one.
And I know you guys, both of you, Dr. Wilson and Kat, were on a collaborative project. Do you want to speak a little bit on that? Because that was a really fascinating project that really brought together a bunch of people, and it was a beautiful production.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm assuming you're referring to Birthplace of the People, a Tongvin origin story. That was a virtual reality piece that was representational of the indigenous origin story that took place on our campus, on the sacred land that our campus is built on, which is called Pavungna.
Yeah, birthplace of the people. Yeah, it was something that, it tells the story of Wiat and Coyote and Red-Legged Frog Woman, like these people before people. And, it's kind of the mythology of the birthplace of the Tongvin people, which is right here on campus. And, it was a collaborative project that, Cindy Alvitre of American Indian Studies and I had been talking for years about collaborating on this kind of project. And it's only been recently that the technology existed for us to do this, really. It's just a combination of VR 360 video and 3D model paintings, art pieces that were created in Tilt Brush, and then Kat worked on the animation of the virtual VR camera in Unity. And so all these things come together, and really what we try to do is transport people to this mythical time period, like to this place beyond future, beyond the past, and that really make people feel like they're visiting something they didn't even know that they've stepped foot in before. And so I think VR in general is a really good way to teleport people to places that don't exist anymore, or that do exist but aren't kind of below this level of consciousness, that it's still there, it's still important, and we want people to build some kind of emotional connection to it. And so as we, as the viewer watches it, we kind of think of it, and the way it was designed is to be an experience. It's not something you view, it's something you inhabit, right? So I don't even refer to it as a film. Usually when I talk about it, I talk about it as an experience. And we were fortunate enough to show it in the campus's new Igloo brand, that's the brand name, Igloo Immersive Theater in 360 with the cylindrical theater, kind of like a planetarium, but more of a cylinder. And it felt a lot like, you know, it was like an amusement park ride. Like when that camera moves and you fly through the artwork and the scenery as it's being narrated, like it's really, it feels like you're taking a trip to a place that you've never been to before. So it was, yeah, it was quite the experience. It took over a year to complete. And I, as director, I just, you know, my job was to just bring together talented people. And I think we did that enough to really, you know, everyone did their part, and then it all came together. And yeah, it was, I'm proud of it, and I hope to do more with it in the future. It will be featured at this year's Powwow on March 14th. We'll be showing it in headsets, not in the theater, but we'll be showing it in its original format in VR, Oculus Quest headsets. So the tribe has actually invited us to show it. They liked it so much that they want people to see it at the Powwow. So I think that's kind of cool. And it's validating in some ways, because the whole time I was nervous about, you know, are we mangling the story, or is this appropriation? Or, I mean, I knew it wasn't an issue because we've been collaborating with people from the start. But I'm honored that we were invited to the Powwow, because we've had, you know, it's not necessarily a given that they want anthropologists there for understandable, you know, for obvious, right, and very understandable reasons. But our department has historically had a really good relationship with this particular community. So I'm excited about it, and I hope y'all can be there too, if you want to.
What type of stories do you think really benefit from being produced in a VR format?
I personally think that for an ethnography to be produced in VR format, the space has to be a really important aspect of the story you're trying to tell about people. So I tell students in the class, new media ethnography that I teach, you know, I tell them all the time, like, you need to the first question you should ask before you produce a VR film is, does it need to be VR? Because some stories don't need to be in VR. And it only needs to be in VR if the space, the setting, is a really important aspect of what you're doing. So Brianna's research is about black hair, right? And so we were just talking about this earlier today, if you were to make a VR film, which is not for a project, but maybe in the future, VR can help capture the tools, the environment, you know, the art that's on the wall that's in a lot of black hair salons, you know, that these things are important to the people who are in the story, so, you know, you can make them available to a viewer, right? So it just kind of expands the setting. So a lot of the times, you know, I talk about how in the class, you know, VR filmmaking is much closer to things like live drama, to interactive theater. Theater has it's much more like theater than it is about film, because film is two-dimensional, whereas VR is three-dimensional. And so when it's three-dimensional, you can leverage the way that people are arranged in space with the objects and the walls and the windows and things like that, so that even if you're not focusing on these things, like, the person can turn around and see the world that the story is taking place in. So I think it's a lot more immersive that way.
How has what you're doing now in visual anthropology changed from, like, your research when you were, like, I don't know, in graduate school?
So how has it changed? Okay, so my original, good question. My original graduate school research was on race and ethnicity in Taiwan, right? So I was studying a minority ethnic group called Hakka people, Kajia people in Taiwan, about how they were being paid by the state to celebrate their ethnic identity, right? And so I looked at it from the perspective of Taiwanese nationalism, which is very complicated, and I won't get into here because of their relationships between Japan, the U.S., and China, right? So it was really interesting, but as part of that research, you know, I did that. That's what my dissertation was about. But a really interesting part of my research was that most of the people who worked in this field in Taipei were themselves what they call culture workers in Chinese, and one of them in particular was a filmmaker. And so one of the things they were being paid to do was to produce these cultural documents about Hakka identity. And so one of them was a filmmaker. She was one of my primary informants, and, you know, I was working with her, she did help me finish my dish. She was a really important informant, we don't say informants anymore, a collaborator on my research. And as we, you know, as I finished and I started, you know, I published a little bit about it when I got here. The most interesting thing about my project was the filmmaking aspect. And so as, you know, I was writing about this person making the films, and at the time I started noticing, like, wow, I think this is what I should be doing. Like, I felt like that was a much more powerful medium than writing.
So what... First, what made you decide anthropology, right? And then what was it in your life, I guess, that made you decide to do visual anthropology?
That's a double question. Okay. You know, we all have to answer that question at some point. We all are mercenaries, missionaries, or misfits, right? I fit two of those, and I won't say which two. I started in engineering, right? I was an electrical engineering major. I hated it. I wasn't particularly good at it. I was okay at it. I would have survived. But I took my first cultural anthropology class in community college, and I just loved it. You know, I was like, wow, this is, you know, okay, I want something that I like to do. I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I thought I would just get my degree and then go work at Macy's or something. Like, you know, like just, oh, liberal arts degree, what can you do with it? But in the context, after I transferred to a four-year university, UNC Charlotte, and, you know, I started going, and my professor started asking me, have you thought about grad school? And I was like, no, not really. And then I found out more about that. And one thing led to another, I was in grad school. And even that, I still wasn't sure what I wanted to do with it, because, yeah, I didn't want to be a professor. It's not the life I want. But then I found out there's other jobs out there. You know, there are jobs where you get to, and I started teaching in grad school, and I said, okay, this is my hook for academia. I was like, I want to teach. I don't want to publish. I'll publish as much as I need to, but I'm into the teaching, and I want to make. And once I did field work, then I just discovered that I wanted to just make stuff, and started with film. And then, you know, we hired someone else who does film. Once I convinced enough people around here that we should have a focus on visual anthropology, once Stephen came, then, you know, it freed me up to do new media, because I was more interested in that. And so as technology has changed, my interests have changed, and I just feel like it's a good thing for anthropologists to be experimenting with new technologies. Technologies can't save us, but we can use them to make, you know, we really need to be interrogating them for, you know, what they can do, you know, interrogating them in terms of what they can do. What kinds of stories can they tell? Like, how can we tell better stories? How can we advocate more powerfully for communities and things? And so I think, you know, augmented reality, virtual reality, you know, they continue, as I said earlier, they're just continuing this longer relationship that anthropology has had with visual technologies. And, you know, it's a brave new world, and I'm happy to be kind of at the forefront of people that are experimenting with things. As I said at the panel, when we showed the film, you know, to work on this kind of technology at this moment in history, you have to be thick-skinned, right? I've fallen on my face so many times that I don't even care anymore. So you have to be willing to try new things. You have to be willing to experiment. You have to be willing to fail. That's a really important part of it, because sometimes these we experimented with HP Reveal, this augmented reality platform, and we did some amazing, you know, in the class with students, myself and some students also, you know, done some amazing things with it, and then they just killed the platform like 9 years in. Hewlett Packard just bought it, and then they just cut it, and it hasn't come back, and there is no alternative, because there's nothing out there like that. So but hey, that just created an opportunity for me to get into VR, so, you know, you just keep going, you know. So yeah, so like visual, from engineering to visual anthropology, yeah, it's crazy. I know. It's you know, part of it does, you know, part of the logic of it is that when I was also in a religious studies minor when I was an anthro major, and I got into mythology, and, you know, we all go through a Joseph Campbell phase and through all this stuff and Jungian psychology. So my interest in mythology kind of dovetails. It kind of comes back to meet the anthropology, because now I'm back doing things with mythology and doing things with storytelling and doing it with visual media. So yeah, I mean, so that's kind of my story. That's how I ended up here. It really is just, I took one class And I was hooked, and I just abandoned my previous plans and stuck with anthropology. And I think we all kind of have a story like that.
Oh, you know? Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's why anthropology is so cool, right?
It
and
is.
We just end up here. And you meet interesting people, too. So
it's hypnotizing, I guess.
It is. It's very powerful. We have to keep it alive, keep it vibrant, keep it, you know, we have to keep it fresh for people. So like, that's why I hope some of the things that we, you know, when you make things, make sure they get out there and that people see them. So that's my story.
Do you remember the question, Kat?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I found my way to anthropology at community college. I was just trying to figure out what the heck to do, like a lot of us did, I feel like, or do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was filling a general requirement by taking an anthropology class, and my first one was Archaeology 101. And just that introduction lecture where they bring up the four fields of anthropology, you know, physical, linguistic, cultural, and archaeology, got me hooked. I heard about cultural anthropology and I was like, this is cool. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'm into it. Just learning about people and humanity and, you know, our differences and similarities and all the intricacies in between fascinated me. So I knew I was headed in the direction of anthropology. I didn't know what I was doing, but when I transferred to Cal State Long Beach, I looked at the class listings and found new media ethnography. I was already, my mind was blown. They were talking about things like virtual reality, interactive film, these really cool and creative outlets that I didn't know were associated with anthropology. So I took that class my first semester here with Dr. Wilson. And from then on, I've just been inspired and creating and trying new things. So it started with a virtual reality film about roller derby, and you're in the middle of the rink and you're hearing an interview about a roller derby player's experiences and the meaning, you know, what it means to them, and it evolved from there. Now I'm really interested in multi-sensory installations and just pushing the bounds of what an ethnography can be. And that's what I love about Cal State Long Beach and anthropology and visual anthropology and new media, is that there's room for creativity. There's room for experimentation, trying and failing and bringing something to life that is shared and collectively experienced and meaningful to different people in all different kinds of ways. So I'm grateful to have found it.
Definitely. And I think that, you know, there's space for that now. There's all those pop-up museums and all those types of installations now where people can go enjoy these experiences. So I think, you know, the time is now, the technology's here, and it definitely is something that we can produce.
Yeah, and those kinds of experiences are powerful in that they're engaging and fun, and people want to be involved in them, and they're collective, and people are experiencing them together and from unique perspectives, and yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's great. Great.
Job, Kat.
So we want to thank you guys for being on In the Thick.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a good time.
This was fun.
Yes, yeah. We were happy to have you.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, thanks for doing the podcast. This is really, you know, this is really exciting. I've enjoyed, you know, I'm a subscriber, so like I hope to see, I look forward to seeing future episodes. So I think it's good for the department. I think it's good for anthropology. So, you know, keep your voice out there.
Thank you.
All right, guys. We are bringing our episode today on technology and anthropology, VR included, visual included, to a close today. And as you know, as our closings, you know how this works.
Hopefully by now you do anyway.
By now you do. So we're going to go to our brand new segment, Kayla's Quotes.
All right. Today's quote is brought to you by anthropologist Alfred Kroeber. And the quote is, anthropology is the most humanistic of the sciences and the most scientific of the humanities. which I think is pretty accurate of what anthropology is. It is a science. It's a social science. For those of you who aren't aware, it does classify as a science.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Well, guys, we want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of In the Thick, an anthropological podcast. We want to thank you guys for listening. All those that follow and subscribe, thank you, thank you, thank you. Continue listening. We have more and more content coming as the weeks go by.
And if you guys have any questions for us or any comments for us and you want to get in contact with us, go ahead and visit our website. Leave the information in the Contact Us tab and we will be happy to address those questions.
Definitely. We will definitely get back to you on those questions. So until next time.
Bye.